Everybody awake?
Yes.
Is it live or Memorex? All right. You know, there's a something supernatural or on the way to church. This is completely full, and then by the time I get here, it's half empty. No, I'm a half full person.
And it looks like
so you know,
lip gloss on it.
There's lip gloss. It's not my lip gloss. Okay. So anyway, it's amazing. So. If I get dry, then I'll blame these people over here. All right, little peeps. So what's mine is theirs, and what's theirs is theirs, right? Kind of like being married, right, guys? So, kidding. You guys are a tough crowd tonight, aren't you? Oh, boy. Need a drummer. Do rim shots for me. So tonight, you know, I'll just kind of recap what we talked about last week, which is really interesting. You know, nothing is mine. I just want to take it from the Word. Amen. And you know, Jesus, we always talk about faith. Jesus had faith. You can't separate faith from obedience, right? And you can't separate being led by the Spirit. So they all go hand in hand. You know, Jesus was led into the wilderness. Jesus said, I don't do anything or say anything apart from the Father, right? So anything that he said, Jesus just did. He doesn't out here doing things on his own. He said, I don't do anything and say anything apart from my Father. So, kind of talking a little bit about faith, and I want to talk about prayer, because I think that our nation needs some prayer, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you think we're in kind of a big mess right now? And we got big, more messes coming down the way, and I don't think we're getting the whole, like, who's the guy that, and the rest of the story? Paul Harvey, there we go. Hey, all right. Paul Harvey and the rest of the story. We're not getting the rest of the story, are we? But you know what? God knows what's going on behind the scenes, doesn't he? So it's not like we're fooling anybody and anything that's going on. Things are going on. But as Christians, you know, I think too many times, Kenneth Hagin said it really good. He's talking about, you know, we always want to mix prayer up and put it in a sack and then decide, oh, we just kind of decide our own rules, right? So Jesus prayed differently when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he pray? If it's your will, right? Because like, hey, if this cup can pass before me, if I can do something different than the plan, then do that. But if it's your will, then I'm going to do it. So Jesus prayed differently at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed differently in Matthew chapter 6, didn't he? When he was talking about the Lord's Prayer. So Jesus doesn't pray the same all the time. We don't pray the same all the time, do we? So, you know, I can't go up and command somebody to get saved. It's something that they've got to do, right? But I do have authority over the devil, right? So we do have authority over the devil, but we don't have authority over people's wills, right? Because if we had that, then everybody would be in church and, you know, everybody would be born again and we can command people to do things. We don't have that authority, do we? So again, authority goes so far. We can pray out things. Well, let's start in John chapter 16. Can we do that? John chapter 16. You know, I was in prayer school a lot. Jim Hockaday was really good. And is it Leanne Merrill, right? And does she get, is that her married name or maiden name?
Sosby
now. Okay, so she's been married. But anyway, you know, they'd always take some time to teach on prayer, you know, and kind of get ourselves focused and sometimes be faith and some other things too. But it's always good to have things reminded of ourselves because, you know, when we walk into a room, even if we, people outside of this church or other churches, you know, I remember, and I'm sure I'm probably not the only one, remember 9/11 happened, right? And the Twin Towers came down. And what was the whole thing? Everybody said, oh, we need your thoughts and what? Prayers. Well, my prayer is going to be different than somebody else's prayer, right? When we get together, it's going to be a prayer. And I remember we had a community prayer service right after that happened. I think it was like a week or two later. And then the anniversary of it, we had all the churches got together when we lived, you know, in Oskaloosa there. We all got together and had a community prayer time. And the prayers were vastly different. Right? And even though we were all kind of under the guise of the Christianity, it was a good time. It was a blessing. You know, it was great to be around brothers and sisters in the Lord. But We all pray differently. And we got to come back to the Word. John chapter 16, and we as believers, 23, let's start in verse 23, and it says, "In that day, Jesus speaking, you shall ask me nothing." Now, this wasn't the case while he was there on the earth, was it? Jesus is sitting here, he's saying, when I'm gone, this is the way prayer is going to be. Well, has Jesus already been off the earth, died, went to hell, came back, and seated on the right hand of the Father? Yes, he has, since this has happened, right? So he's saying, when I'm gone, this is the way it's going to happen. Well, the disciples would just come to him for things. He would just provide things for them, right? But now, when he leaves, and this is what he's talking about here, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever shall..." I got some other scriptures on the brain. "Whatsoever you'll ask the Father in what? My name, he will give it to you. Hitherto, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Now, this is a very loaded scripture here. I'm just as bad as everybody else sometimes. I go through and Cadillac through the Bible and kind of read things here. But first of all, we're not begging Jesus for anything, are we? We're not actually asking him for anything. We're asking, who are we asking? It's the Father, right? We come to the Father. We ask God the Father for things. And why do we ask in Jesus' name? Because he is the one that established the covenant. He is, Jesus said, "I am the what? The way, the truth, and what? The life." When he's talking about the way, he is saying, "I am the pathway to the Father." You're not going to get to the Father but by Jesus. So when he says, "I am the way," he's also referring that here too. He means you're going to go to the Father, but you're going to access the Father through me and through my name. Right? Why do we have that? Because the blood was paid for our iniquity. The blood was paid. It was our redemption that we can go now into the Holy of Holies because of what Christ did. Right? And then it also says in Romans that he was what? The firstborn among many brethren. Now, this is where we're going to get people, is because Jesus was born again. Yes, he was. He says, "I was the firstborn among many brethren." He didn't commit sin, but he took our sin upon him, didn't he? See, Jesus didn't do anything wrong, but he took the sin upon him, right? The Bible talks about the sin was so gross and he was so beaten and did not have human form. Why? Because our sin was so disgusting. And it was so evil and so vile that even his appearance looked distorted because of what we did. And again, it's not because of what Jesus did, it's because of what we did, and he took that sin upon himself. Because of that, we see Ephesians, he went down to hell. Other scriptures, he went to hell. He was there. Revelations chapter 1, it says that he took death, the keys of death, hell, and the grave, didn't he? So he was down there in hell. The devil's not in heaven. He didn't get the keys from the devil in heaven, but he took the keys from the devil in hell. He took them. So we see other places he went to hell, and then because he went to the Father, he presented the blood to the mercy seat, which was, we saw that in on the Ark of the Covenant, there between the two cherubs, there was the what we call the mercy seat. That's where God manifested his presence in the Old Testament. Was in the Holy of Holies at that position, right? That's where it was. And that's all typology of what God is today. So let's go on here. It says, "Well, ask Jesus in his name." Here we go. It says, "You're not going to ask me anything in my name." It says, "Don't ask me in my name." We're not going to go to Jesus. "Jesus, please do this for me. Jesus, please do this for me." We're going to go to the Father in the name of Jesus. The Father provides it because of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. And that is the payment. And now we can go and we can receive things because of Jesus. And then it goes on here and it says, "That you ask nothing in my name that you shall receive." So we're going to receive those things, right? And then it says here, "That your what? Joy may be full." That your joy may be full, right? So this is a good thing that we're receiving from the Father. Jesus is sitting there saying, my whole emphasis is, you're going to go to the Father, you're going to ask it in my name, he's going to provide it for you. You're going to receive it. And then you know what? You're going to have joy because of it. You know, I don't remember receiving anything from God that was bad. When I got born again, it was never, this is terrible. This is awful. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, oh my goodness, I felt like my body was on fire. It was incredible. It was amazing. Everything that comes from God is wonderful, right? Amen. He didn't make the Garden of Eden with, you know, bad stuff in it. It was all perfect. Because, you know, every time we see in Genesis, it says, and he made it, and what he said, and it was good. And then he makes something else or do something else, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And it was always putting his stamp of approval on things. So anytime we go to God or we spend time in prayer, it's because we go to the Father in the name of Jesus. Again, this is one thing that separates us from other religions, is because they pray to other things and this and that and the trees and this God and that God and that entity and this entity and this entity. People say, well, you're all praying. No, we're all engaged in prayer, but not the way Jesus taught us to pray, right? It is very different to pray to the Father in Jesus' name than just some entity, right? God, Jesus is very, very, very specific here about how we're to engage in the terms of prayer. Let's look at another scripture since we're at it here. So first of all, we need to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. That's where we need to focus on. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. So we had somebody in our house was doing some chores today around the house, and there was a promise, if you do this, you're going to get this. Well, you know what? After they done it, isn't that great English? After they completed it, I know better. Once they completed it, they were expecting what? The money, right? What was the exchange here? Number one, there was a promise, and somebody did the cleaning around the house today. All right? So there was faith there. Faith was an action. Why? Because there was faith that if I do this, I'm going to receive this. And then afterwards, there was hands out. Right? I need the money. Show me the money. Right? And that's so different than, you know, we think the stuff in the Bible, people think, oh, that's just weird. That's just weird. No, this is what the Bible says. We do that in everyday life. Again, you know, whether, you know, our parents, relationship when we were kids, you know, them doing things, providing things for us, that's the same that we have with the Father. There's nothing different there. It's the same concept. But not, Mark 11, 24 says, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So first of all, whatever things we desire, I've said this before, I am never going to own a Gremlin or a Pacer, right? I'm never going to own a Gremlin, all right? If I do, I'm driving it off a cliff, okay? I mean, I know they're cool, and some people are coming back, but you know what? I'm never going to own it because I don't want one, all right? I just don't want one. If you've got one, I'm sorry. All right. If you like him, I'm sorry. You just get your little Gremlin. What's the Gremlin around town? It's got the Christmas tree on top. Who's that person around? I love that thing. That is so awesome. See, now that's what I would have. If I had a Gremlin, I'd put a Christmas tree on top of it. Or like a, you know, Rudolph or somebody with the light, nose lighting up and stuff. I mean, you know what? If you're gonna go, just go big or go home. Yeah. Right? Right, Amy? Yeah. I mean, come on. Go big or go home. Hello. So one thing. You know, Smith Wigglesworth once said, if there is something about believing God, there's just something about believing God that will cause him to pass over a million people to get to you. He's going to, you know, we always think, you know, different things about, you know, God. Well, God doesn't have his favorites. He doesn't. But, you know, it's like anything else. Those people that want to be around you, you're instantly going to be... Can I just say this too? You know, we're made in God's image. Why do we think God is so weird sometimes? Like his heart isn't towards people that come to him. You know? Remember the last time when people, they never call. Well, they never talk to me. Well, they never do this. They never do this. They never do this. Right? God's going, well, they never call. They never write letters. They never do this. God is a person. And believe it or not, when, especially right around the time of him and Moses were hanging out together, there were times, I'm glad that him and Moses didn't get on the same page together. Because God would be mad and ready to wipe out the Hebrews, and Moses would say, whoa, 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 well, if you do that, then they're going to say that you brought him out here just to kill him off. And then other days, Moses would be mad and ready to just bring him down to kill him. And he said, no, these are my people. And I'm sure glad they didn't get on the same page on the same day. But God does get mad. He has gotten angry. Jesus wept at Lazarus' grave. I mean, it's just all of these things. The Lord has emotions, and he is obviously expressed them in the word, but I love it. And then, you know, Smith Wigglesworth said that some people are ready to give up on prayers if they don't receive an instant answer. Right? He said, most people are willing to just give up if they don't receive an instant answer. Do you think Joseph was probably praying sometimes? Can you get me out of this, Lord? Can you get me out of this prison? Can you get me out of here? I saw a funny shirt today. It had this cartoon cat on it. The cat was all frazzled looking, and it said, I went in for my patience test today, and I failed. It came back negative. I'm like, I need that shirt. I got to get that shirt. I've just kind of come to the conclusion, and I think just everything with history and things like that, God's on his own time frame, and he and I are not on the same time frame, right? I want things done yesterday, and he's going to do it when he wants to, right? I mean, things in your life and in our lives sometimes. It's just, he sometimes has got to work people around to do things, right? So if you have a need, obviously, he knows the water bill needs paid. He knows if you need healing. He knows all of these things, and he's not caught off guard, you know. Adrian's got a water bill due. Oh, my gosh. What are we going to do, Jesus? Holy Ghost, what are we going to do now? Michael, Gabriel, do something. Help us out here. No, nothing. Nothing comes. Acts 27:25 says, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even it was told me." This is where Paul is being in a storm, a couple of weeks. Everything looks hopeless, and he said, "Hey, we're gonna make it." And then right here in Acts, he said, "See, it was like everything I said it was gonna be." So we saw the first one is pray in the Father's name, pray to the Father in Jesus' name. That's number one. Number two, believe that you receive, right? And a part of that is believing or receiving is what? Believing the character of God, right? I've said 1,000 times. Afterwards, I don't want to talk about food, so I won't talk about food now. But we go out to eat. Again, if there's somebody sitting next to me, I'm not going to ask them to pay my meal because I don't know them. Number one, I don't know what their capacity is. Do they have the money? Number two, are their willingness to do it? I don't know that. But we know God's ability to do it, and we know his willingness to do it, right? Mark 11:25-26, the same couple down there. A couple verses now from where we're at. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have any aught or anything against anyone, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So one of the successful things about prayer is just keeping a clean conscience, isn't it? Very important, keeping a clean conscience. You know, we were talking about Adrian was just talking about Florida, you know. Mark and Sandra went to church here. They're down in Florida now, and they live down there. And, you know, all the crazy stuff with the hurricanes and everything, and there's people pulling guns on each other for gas and everything else too, right? When things are heightened, that's when we need more mercy, don't we? rather than amping things up and you know, stirring the pot up. That's why the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath, right? When we're you know, sometimes we get you know, in the flesh, or we want to get mad, and everybody's getting mad, and everybody's getting mad, and everybody's getting mad. You know, we were. Should I tell on ourselves here? Yeah, sure. We'll just air our dirty laundry, since we had an issue the other day about our washing machine went out, right? So I'm working on it, and finally I came to the conclusion. I was like, I think it's a water pump, right? So I drained it, cleaned the filters out, and all this stuff. I'm like, okay, I don't want to deal with myself. I'm going to hire somebody. Okay, so without you know, doing laundry and stuff, so we got these wet, stinky clothes all over the place, and you know, we got these towels that are wet now. Great, they're wet. Nothing's. So we can't fix it, and then you know, we're ready to start cleaning clothes again. Fire it up, and then pretty soon, water all over the second floor. So we're like, I don't want patience, right? So it was like 9 o'clock at night, and we're like, oh my gosh, this is not great, right? And so it was a love walk test, yeah, isn't it? You know, right. Three little people, you know, and really I got slopping, yeah. And you know, so I forgave her. You know, I mean, I'm a big person, so I forgave her. You know, oh, so I came in and said, you know what? I'm sorry. If I got upset, I don't. You know, just forgive me. I wasn't trying to direct you. So, yeah. So and yeah. So, but I was laughing because it was like, can you get in here and clean this up while I'm standing there holding the stuff to clean it up? But anyway, it was just funny. But and we were all. Oh, but I had to do the forgive me, Lord. You know, it was bad. So, so we had to forgive. We had to exercise the scripture, didn't we? I mean, you know, it doesn't happen very often in our house, but sometimes we're once in a while. It's like things are going on. And you're like, okay, can I pick you up and just move you over here? And then I'll just do this and do this and do this. So, anyway. But the Bible says iron sharpens iron, right? So we got people, God puts his people in our lives to, you know, make things. All right, so I was on a praise and worship team years ago, all right? And I had just kind of came back to the Lord and did things like that. And the guy that was on the praise and worship team was the biggest love walk test of the universe, right? It was just the craziest. I love him, but you talk about stomping all over my irritation buttons. He just was master at it, you know? And I believe God just put him there. He was our drummer, and drummers are something else. So I love them. But anyway, he was just, I love you. So he was just one of those guys that just, and I believe God just puts those people in your way just to stretch you out and just to help grow you up. And yeah, I'm like, Lord, I hope I pass the test because I don't want to do this. But was it just me? But he just, it was like his, that's his whole, you know, that was his destiny at the church, was just to make sure everybody's walking in love. So you got those people there. So yeah, it's like, we love you. So anyway, so this scripture was very important during that time period to me. I had to do a lot of forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And I was never really mean or rude to him, but I was just hard to be around some people. You know, some of those people, it's just hard to be around. And you're like, Lord, I sure hope there's extra credit involved in this one deal because I deserve it right now. Oh my goodness. So again, we can't... And one thing is too, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, pray that I don't have problems with the devil and everything else too. You know what? We don't pray. One thing that's really good in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay? And yes, we need to be forgiven, but there's also times of temptation that comes along that can hinder us. But we're not going to pray, for example, that the devil leave us alone. But we resist the devil. That scripture, full scripture, says we submit to God, then resist the devil. Remember last week I talked about, you know, it's, again, you cannot separate faith often from being led by the Spirit to obedience. They're all interchangeable. Jesus didn't say, well, Jesus didn't go rogue and say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to heal all these people. No, when he's at the pool of Bethesda, he healed one person. But then other places in like Matthew chapter 9, and 36 through, or 35 through 37, He healed the whole multitude. So again, it just depends. I don't know why God does what he does. I don't know. He doesn't consult me. So, you know, he just never asks me before he does things. He just does it. But when we submit to God, resist the devil, and then he'll flee from us. So we don't pray the devil leave us alone. We take command and authority over the enemy. And just like James 4, 7 says. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Kind of go through some things tonight. I want to spend a little time praying here at the end. I want to pray for the nation. Amen. I want to pray for all this junk that's going on. I want to pray that, you know, God's going to, you know, expose things. And, you know, can I just say this too? You know, when you're living in darkness, it's hard to see the light sometimes. And we just continue to pray that the light is being shined in this nation and all over the world. Amen. People are coming to the light. Romans 8, 26 and 27. First I want to read, Ephesians 6, 18. Just go ahead and stay there. I'm going to read Ephesians 6, 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, the Moffat's translation of that, it says, praying at all times, right? Or we can say, praying all kinds of different prayers. So, you know, the Apostle Paul is saying, praying in the Spirit, watching, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication, what? For all saints. Are all saints the same? No. Do all saints have the same needs? No. So we're not going to pray the same thing for everybody, are we? All the time. And again, that refers to all kinds of prayer, which is saying, praying always with all prayer, inferring that there is obviously more than one kind of prayer, isn't there? So we don't pray the same type of prayer all of the time. Romans 8, 26 and 27, likewise the Spirit helps our infirmities or our inabilities, right? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes what? Intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I want to stop there for a second. And it says the Spirit makes intercession for us. But before that, it says we don't know how we should pray sometimes, right? Do you ever have a situation where you just don't know what to do? You're all better than me, huh? I've been to those places before where I come to situations before and I don't know what to do. But God does, right? I mean, I've gotten in situations before and made a big mess out of things because I've done what I thought I should do. And I'm the only one in that situation. Nobody's ever done that before? Just me? Don't you make mistakes before, right? You've done made mistakes before. Right. So me doing things like, oh, God, step out of the way. I got this under control. And he's like, I got to see this. Right? This is where, you know, like in Psalms, it's like chapter 1 and chapter 2 there, it says that he sits back and laughs. Remember? Psalms chapter 1, he talks about that too. He just laughs at their derision. Well, he laughs at me sometimes. And it's not because of I'm funny necessarily, but I do funny things. So, you know, he does have a sense of humor, right? God does have a sense of humor. And he that he'll search the hearts knows that what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints. What? According to the will of God. Instead of us giving God what we think we should do, right? All the time. We always, you know, like we're going out to eat or something. Now I'm talking about food again. You know, I'll have the burger. I'll have, you know, lettuce, tomatoes, onions, pickles. I'll take ketchup, mustard, hold the mayonnaise. But right, we're not giving God a laundry list of things that we want, but it's according to His will. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15. I like this one. And this is talking about making intercession for ourselves. Making intercession. If you don't know how to pray, then guess what? You don't know what to say, right? Hello? I mean, if I don't know what's coming down the road, I can't verbalize anything that I don't know what's going on. What's going to happen, right? I mean, years ago, I used to be, denominational church, and Sunday night we'd go as a kid, And then, you remember the old altars? You know, they'd have the altars up front, you know, and you'd walk down there, and it was Sunday night was the night, you know, we'd have Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then Wednesday night. And, you know, Sunday morning was, you know, a lot of the preaching. Sunday night was more Holy Ghost things going on, and you'd come up and pray afterwards. And Wednesday night, we'd have, like, you know, different things for the kids. Well, Sunday night, we'd be prayer. We'd all come down around the altar, and, you know, I'm praying. I'm praying for Grandpa and Grandma and the puppy and the cat. And, you know, I'm just, I don't know what to do, right? I mean, I'm running out of stuff to say. You know, I'm looking around. Because those situations, you know, because you're real, trying to be real spiritual. You know, you're like, I don't want to be the first one up back, because then people would be like, well, he didn't pray. And then, but then, you know, I want to have, but then I don't want to be too long, because then people are like, okay, we want to shut things down. You know, as a kid, you're thinking those things. So, you know, but you run out of stuff to pray because you don't know, right? Okay. Bless the president and the Congress and this Senate and help them and this. And I mean, you just run out of stuff after a while. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 and 15 says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, here we go, but my understanding is unfruitful. Why? Because the spirit knows things and your mind has no clue. And that's where God is going to come in and be able to pray things out through you for his will. Then he goes on here and says, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also, right? So there's things where we can actually pray in the Spirit with our understanding, right? Because we are anointed and we can actually pray in the Spirit-led in the natural. And we can also pray Spirit-led, that is, in tongues, right? There's different things. It says we're understanding in our tongues that are not understood. I like this. It says the literal Greek translation of Romans 8:26 says, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. That's really good. Inarticulate speech. It just means you don't have the ability to articulate it because you don't know. You don't have the comprehension. You can't see where God is. He hasn't given you those things. Your gray matter is hindering you from being able to articulate some things, right? Sometimes you'll see things, like they'll say things like a picture's worth 1,000 words, right? Well, you can see something, but you just can't, sometimes just can't verbalize it, right? Like people come back from heaven. I remember Jesse Duplantis going, I just can't put it in words. Just some things. Because you cannot verbalize things. It's just, there's things you see, there's things you comprehend, but you can't do it justice. If we went to a went to a music concert, for example, you know, and they were playing some kind of music, and you came back and was describing it. Well, it was really great. They had this and that and music, and this is what happened, and this is what happened. And you couldn't tell me, but I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, they had these instruments, and they had this, and some couple people sang, and this and that, and they did maybe some songs and everything. I'm thinking, okay, but it's not like being there. You can only articulate so much, right? And some people, they don't have the vocabulary. Other people do have vocabulary, right? They can say, well, you know, a couple guys were playing a guitar and somebody was playing drums and you know, I don't know, somebody was singing through something, microphone, right? Well, somebody else has more vocabulary is going to be able to come in and say, well, they were playing this guitar and they were doing this and they were doing this and they were playing in this key. This guy was playing this kind of drum set and these cymbals and they had this kind of sound and they were using inner monitors and blah, 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 and they were singing this, and they can go into detail, right? And it's kind of like that. We just have limited, but God has an endless vocabulary, and he has an endless understanding. He can come in and communicate things through us that we need to speak into this realm. Because often things just don't happen unless we pray them out. And that's the great thing about praying in tongues, is because we can pray things out in the spirit realm. The devil doesn't understand. Only God does. We just read it there. Then it goes on, articulation is speech. Articulate speech means your regular kind of speech. Speaking with tongues is not your regular kind of speech. So this verse includes speaking and praying with other tongues. And then I love what Brother Hagin says this. He's talking about, this is so good. He says, there have been times in my own life when I have told the Lord I didn't know exactly how I should pray concerning my children. When I know there is a problem, I begin praying in tongues, and most of the time, before I get through, well, here we go, I have the answer, right? Because don't you think that God can give you understanding? Well, he said, the Lord said, ask and you'll receive, right? Knock and the door will be open. I mean, is he just lying? Is he playing games with us all the time? Or is he playing hide and seek? Right. He's not playing hide and seek. He's not trying to. He's wanting to reveal things to us. Why? Because it's going to benefit us. The more he reveals to us, the more he can get through to us, the more he can help us, the more we can help other people, and it's only going to spread. So that is, again, depend upon the Holy Spirit in your prayer life. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Got to be led by the Holy Spirit. I've missed the mark at times. Of course I have. But you want to learn from your mistakes and move forward, don't you? Let's look at, again, Romans 8:26. We'll close it up here in just a minute. I want to pray some things out. But Romans 8:26 says, the Spirit itself, again, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Again, prayer is the prayer of intercession. When we pray, the Holy Spirit can intercede. What is intercede? Well, obviously, we're not praying for ourselves at that time, right? I mean, I remember Kenneth Hagin saying one thing. It was so good. He says, I stopped praying for myself years ago because I just know God's going to supply my needs, right? I spend most of my time praying for other people. I thought that was powerful. I love this. He's talking about after a time of praying in the Spirit, we will know whether we are praying in tongues for ourselves to build ourselves up spiritually and worship God, which is discussed in the next step. He talks about the intercession for others. I remember being in prayer school one time. We had prayer groups. Adrian and I were in prayer groups at Rhema. And we were praying for international. While I was in, we prayed for international. So we prayed for, a lot of the missionaries. We prayed for, a lot of the people overseas. And I was the only American. So there was a guy from, two from Africa, one from England. I was the only Yankee. And I don't know, somebody else. There's like four or five of us. We'd all show up, different time. The one time, different of us folks could make it. But in that during that time, prayer time, I would experience things like, for example, I would know who I was praying for. I would pray in tongues. We'd start praying for people, and then all of a sudden I'd start seeing things and start seeing people in other countries, and I'd start praying things out. Why? Because I'd be in the Spirit, and the Lord would show me things for us to pray out in the natural. And I would pray those things. Well, those things just aren't going to come to me by osmosis. We're not just going to come to me, but the Holy Spirit's going to reveal some things to us. And I would know exactly what I was praying for and who I was praying for, and I'd see people in the spirit realm, right? He also goes on occasion and sometimes over a period of time, I would have a burden of intercession before I even know or knew for whom I was praying. And I can tell when I am in intercession or travailing for someone who is lost. I've been to have that experience too, where I would just overcome me with compassion for somebody that is lost, and I'm praying for them, and I'm interceding for them. And the Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide you down these avenues, guys. He's going to lead us and guide us and show us the things when we pray for. I remember small praying for the nations. I knew in prayer at the old facility we had years ago, probably 15 years ago, just spending hours and hours of prayer. And the Lord dropped in my heart. He says, I'm going to overturn Roe versus Wade. I knew that 15 years ago because I prayed it out. And I know the Lord had me. He's like, I want you to pray for abortion tonight. And I would pray for 3 hours just on abortion. Right? And I'm not the only one praying, but I'm a piece of that puzzle praying out those things. And that's where I would travail and I would pray for the mothers, and I would pray for the babies, speaking them into this existence, into this realm, that God would save them moving forward, and he would just give me things to pray out. And again, that's in the spirit realm. He'll reveal things to you, what you're praying out, and give you assignments to pray out. And sometimes he'll tell you, I need you to pray this long, because there's just information and things he just needs to get out of us, right? There's some things he needs to pray out. So again, we are praying the intercession. He also goes on, he says, when you take the place of a lost person in intercession, you will experience the same lost feeling in your own spirit as you pray in the spirit interceding for the person, the Holy Spirit will deal with his or her heart and bring them under the conviction of sin. So again, it's one of those things where we're just not, again, you see how, like I said at the beginning, when we pray, we just say the word prayer. We don't know what that means, right? I don't know what that means. People say, well, just pray for me. Okay, about what? Well, just pray for me. I need to know what, right? Don't just tell me to pray for you, right? Or the special and spoken request. I mean, that's, come on. I mean, I did that all the time when I was a kid in churches, but it says, make your requests known unto God. God needs you to speak things out of your mouth, right? You know why? Because he wants us to need him. And we need to come to him and ask him. We're made in his image. He has feelings, right? So again, we pray the prayer of intercession. And the last one here is, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. While you're turning there, I want to read Jude 20. I love this. This is, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. This Greek word here is like, it is similar to like a battery. It means to be recharged, to be charged, right? We need to be charged. We need to be activated. We need to be engaged. Our spirit man needs to be built up. We need to be built up. We feed on reading the word, don't we? So when we read the Bible, that builds our spirit man up. But when we pray in the spirit, it builds ourselves up as well. We feed on the word, but praying in the spirit builds ourselves up. Again, 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he that speaks in an unknown edifies himself. So again, that's also that edify, that charging ourselves up, that building ourselves up. Again, edifying yourself by praying in the Holy Ghost, it builds you up. Like we talked about in prayer time on Wednesday nights. I never walk away after prayer time and go, oh, that was a waste of time. Right? It's you're building yourselves up. You are charging yourself up when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. When you're praying in the spirit realm, you're building yourself up. You are expanding yourself. God is manifesting himself through you. So I love it. Praying, back to Ephesians 6:18, praying with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And you're like, what? That's all King Jamie-ish. Is that a word? King Jamie-ish? I don't know. I just made it up. I'm going to copyright it. That's mine. I heard somebody the other day say some word. It was like, is that a word? I looked it up. That's not even a word. I just create my own language. There we go. We're just going to King Jamie-ish, whatever that is. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to, y'all can pray with me. Amen. I want to pray over the nation. I want to pray over some things tonight. I want to pray over some, we're going to pray for some people, the nation tonight. Amen. And you know what? I still believe, just like Abraham, when the Lord came to him with the angels and said, well, we're going to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, well, you know what? What would you do? Well, yeah, I was like that dialogue there with Abraham, interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. It's like, well, since you're going, what if 50 were, you found 50 good people? I mean, what do you think? I mean, would you kind of hold off on that whole, hail and brimstone kind of thing? Would you kind of hold off on that? Yeah, I could do that. I just think he just didn't go down low enough. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what if he said, hey, how about one guy? Okay, would you just do one guy? Would that be okay? I mean, because, what's the difference between 50 and 5? I mean, it's just a number. It's people. God, the Lord's like, okay, I'll do it, And he kept going down and kept going down and kept going down. It's like, you stop too soon. Keep going. Go down to one. And one, just one person, Lord. But he didn't. But I believe, God can have his ears to us too, right? I mean, we can be an Abraham for the United States right now, for the people around us. We can do that. We're like, God, just one person, Lord, just save us. Even just all of us here and the churches, Lord, just redeem us. Let's just pray, amen. Father, I just want to pray tonight in the name of Jesus. Again, we come to the Father in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come before you tonight, Lord, and we pray for this nation tonight, Lord. We come before you, Lord. We intercede for this nation tonight, Lord. I pray, God, that First of all, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would bring righteousness into this nation in the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare the Spirit of God will begin to manifest in America and throughout the world, Lord God. We pray in the name of Jesus that our school systems would be filled with righteousness in the name of Jesus. And we come against any evil demonic forces that would attack our precious children, Lord Jesus. We come before you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We come against depression and anxiety and that spirit of suicide on children in the school systems in the name of Jesus. And confusion. We speak against confusion in the name of Jesus. Lord, we dedicate our school system tonight for you, Lord God. We thank you that you're going to have free reign in the name of Jesus. We thank you that Christians, people who are born again that love you, Jesus, are going to be able to start invading the school systems in the name of Jesus. Lord God, to preach the gospel, to get people saved in the name of Jesus. Lord God, the peace of God will begin to manifest in the school systems like never before, Lord God. We speak that prayer is going to become manifest in the schools again in the name of Jesus. We declare righteousness in the school systems tonight in the name of Jesus. We declare it, Lord God. We thank you that school boards and school systems are going to repent. Teachers would repent, Lord God, of any kind of evil doctrine and evil things that would hinder and hurt kids, Lord God. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you that the students and the parents and the teachers and the faculty and every person in school systems, Lord God, we speak born again, Lord God, that God would be cool in America in the name of Jesus. It would be very highly favored in the name of Jesus. We speak a revival in the school systems in the name of Jesus by the power of God. God, we pray for our nation tonight, Lord, our government, Lord Jesus. We speak, Lord God, that righteousness in the name of Jesus would be in the office of the presidency in the name of Jesus. We declare it, Lord God, that the person that you're calling, Lord, to be in the seat of the president, we call it in tonight in the name of Jesus. We speak righteousness into the Senate and the Congress, Lord God. We speak, Lord, tonight judgment become on those who would not repent, on bringing our nation down a road of evil, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that they would be judged in the name of Jesus. And we pray that there would be replaced with righteous men and women in the name of Jesus. We declare a praying nation, Lord God. We declare a God-fearing president, vice president. We declare a God-fearing Senate and Congress in the name of Jesus. We also declare God-fearing judges in the name of Jesus. The judicial systems in this nation, not only we just declare on the House levels, Lord God, but every governor in the name of Jesus. Every state senate in the name of Jesus. The Supreme Court of the United States, and also the judges here in every state, Lord God. We declare, Lord God, righteousness, and we declare evil and immorality be removed in the name of Jesus by the power of God. We declare it. We thank you that evil is being exposed, Lord God, tonight in the name of Jesus. And the demonic forces in this nation are going to be broken in the name of Jesus. We declare it, Lord, tonight. We declare that human trafficking is non-existent now in the name of Jesus. It is broken in the name of Jesus. And those people involved in human trafficking are now exposed. They're being punished that they repent of their sins, Lord God. We pray for the salvation of all of these people in the name of Jesus. We declare it, Lord God, tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We declare, we pray over our military and our police in the name of Jesus and our first responders. We declare, Lord, right now that they are protected. We thank you that there is a revival coming into those areas, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We pray over them, Lord God, that there is righteousness, Lord God, that there is prayer in the military, prayer in police, Lord God, and first responders in the name of Jesus. We declare it tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's protection in the name of Jesus. And God, we pray tonight that those institutions, we pray that they view the American people as behind them, that we support them, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. We continue to pray for them, Lord God, for wisdom and vision and understanding, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that they would turn to you and pray before decisions are made and before men and women go risk their lives every day, Lord God. We just pray the tidal wave of the blood of Jesus over those people, Lord God, and we declare it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we also pray over this church, Lord, and over the body of Christ in general, Lord God, that there be blessings and healings, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. But God, I pray, Lord, tonight a repentance on the church, Lord God, that we repent of our sins, Lord Jesus, and we come to you tonight, Lord God, as completely your bride, Lord God, pure and holy, Lord God. We declare, Lord, the fire of God upon us tonight in this church and upon the body of Christ worldwide, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, that we would just come before you on fire in the name of Jesus. An absolute hatred of evil, Lord God. We love people, Lord God, but an absolute hatred of evil. And those who come against you, Lord Jesus. And God, we just hunger and thirst after righteousness, Lord God. And you told the woman at the well, Lord God, that we would never be thirsty, Lord God. That the wells of living water would flow out of our bellies, Lord Jesus. I pray that tonight the people that rivers of living water would flow out of us, Lord Jesus. But we speak fire in the name of Jesus on all of us tonight. That, Lord, you said there in Revelation that I would not wish that you be cold, or either be cold or hot, but not lukewarm. We are not lukewarm, but we are on fire for you tonight, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord God, and we see the world as precious, precious, precious unto you, Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray tonight also, I intercede for the lost, Lord Jesus. We pray for the lost, Lord God, that people right now, I hear this in my spirit, that there are people saying, God, if you're real, God, if you're real, please, Lord, if you're real, please help me. God, I pray for the people tonight that are crying out to you, the need answers, God, that you're giving them answers tonight. Lord God, you're revealing yourself to them supernaturally in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord, that they have visions and understanding and wisdom, Lord God. And God, most importantly, they just experience your love that would be poured out by your Spirit upon them, Lord God, and that you use people like us to reach them. Yes. And Father, we glorify you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, thanks everybody for tonight. And Wednesday night, it's prayer time. Sorry we had to cancel, but we're going to have prayer again Wednesday night. I'm looking forward to it. Last time prayer was powerful. And if you haven't been on those calls for a while, make sure you're on those calls. We definitely appreciate it. And I know the Lord really appreciates it. The Holy Ghost does when we pray things out. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody.